Asshole Court is a bi-weekly podcast in which a group of lifelong friends choose a controversial public figure and examine their history through available public records and various publications to determine if that person is as much of an asshole as the general public suspects.
We rate the subjects on a not-so-scientific scale, ranging from Mr. Rogers to Hitler, 1 to 11, and average out the three scores in the end for our final number.
Just a reminder, our judgment has no legal weight, is strictly an opinion, and is subject to change at any time, especially in the case of new evidence. It shouldn't be taken seriously. So, just don't.
A lot of the time we find ourselves really questioning which show to do next. There are, of course, things that go into that consideration. Is it something that a lot of fans have asked for? Is it something that we're interested in? Something that feels like it could be fun to write about? Is a show relevant to a lot of our listeners? We try to check off those boxes as much as possible, even when I force you to learn about obscure historical figures that you still aren't sure you give a shit about. But the point is that sometimes it can be tough to land on just who to start reading up on next. And then there are times where that decision is made for you, like this one. If you're a longtime listener, you know that we just recently did our throwback show to rescore some of our past show subjects, people like Vince the Dump McMahon, Elon Musk, Kanye West, and of course, Steven the Dump Seagal. Well, when we wrapped, we thought, I think that covered the major changes. And then, 2 weeks ago, P. Diddy was raided by the Department of Homeland Security, and I quickly realized that the story is wild enough that it absolutely warranted its own revision. As it turns out, P. Diddy, Sean Combs, Puffy, Diddy, whatever the fuck his name is now, well, he very well could be a really fucked up individual that, if these charges and allegations pan out, will be very R. Kelly-esque, for lack of a better word. Seriously, this shit is wild. And there's other household names that are getting stirred into the pot as well. So break out that Ciroc vodka, strap on that Sean John leather thong, and get ready to breathlessly say, yeah, a whole bunch, as we circle back to the mogul and revisit just how bad of a human being he actually is on this special update episode of
Asshole Court.
Well, all right, so before we get into the, I guess, the revisit of our last score with P. Diddy before we really start rolling on the revision, let's go to the inbox, and I believe, buddy, you've got a couple of comments that we have from folks recently.
So, yeah, we have a couple of people that have been responding, and I don't think we're going to be able to get to everybody on this one, but it'll give us some stuff to review in future shows as well.
And this whole theme has definitely started to pick up steam.
That's correct.
As we'll see here from the comments. I don't know if this was the exact angle we were shooting for, but...
I love it.
I'll take it.
It's great.
Yeah, it's fun. We're getting the fan interaction we've asked for, so...
Yes.
I guess I got what I asked for.
Yes.
Well, that's a good lead-in right here to Matthew Hawkins, who replied, I'm 12 and crank my hog.
There's that one.
Yeah, we couldn't, I don't know what to do with that one, but it...
No, it says, I'm 12, crank my hog.
Yeah. So, which, is that an invite? Because the answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
And we don't condone minors cranking their hog to this show.
No,
I don't think we condone minors listening to this show, let alone cranking their hog to it.
I will say I died laughing when I read it, but no. All right, on to the next hog cranking.
Well, this is somebody that we've read a comment or two, or maybe he suggested a show before, but Dr. Phil Morris.
Yep.
That's right.
Said, hey guys, great show. Jerked off just a little bit. Johnny Cash would be a good one.
All okay.
Right. So
that's
thanks,
right.
Dr.
Just
Phil
a little
Morris.
Bit. You couldn't finish the job. Is that the edging?
Well, actually, that's a good segue into the next one.
Okay, good.
We have Black and White said, I gooned and edged to this episode. As good as doing it to Femboy Thigh Picks.
All right, so we had to dissect this. This comment came through, and we all read this about a week ago. And I'll be dead honest, we had to Google what gooning was.
Yeah, right. We didn't know what gooning was.
We were familiar with edging, because that's a very common thing,
right.
But gooning was new to us.
Right, so if you have edged well enough, you essentially gain a state of gooning. Yes. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I had to read Urban Dictionary. and find out what the hell what even was.
You edge so well that you transcend space and time.
That's exactly right. And you're then gooning.
We actually, it's funny because Randy read the Urban Dictionary thing, and the guy really was waxing poetic about about coming so hard that you just sort of, it's like an out of body experience.
While listening to us and our show, so, you know.
Yeah. And I was like, I just don't have time for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to clock in and clock out real quick.
And then the last one was Manny. I guess it's
that's
like
our boy.
Hart.
Yeah, it's Manny.
You know, like, it's Manny Hart. And it says, continuing to crank my hog to this.
That's right. He's the originator of the hog cranking wave sweeping the AHC nation.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's just a few of the cranking the hog.
Yeah.
Slash gooning slash edging.
Yeah. We love it. We love it. Very strange. Nice to know you guys all masturbate to our voices. Very cool. So now we'll go ahead and get into a couple other comments, which, you know, are tied directly to the show because obviously everybody saw it and thought that, you know, hey, this is a pretty big news story. On the Instagram for the P. Diddy episode from way back, somebody just hit us up this week, Jamie, not James, 77, and said, looks like you might have to instigate that, quote, in the light of new evidence clause on this one, boys.
Nice.
Woo!
So, so we have said that since the beginning.
Yes.
Some about our opinion should be taken serious, especially in the case of new evidence.
And here is some new evidence right here.
Here we go.
And and he's getting back into the courtroom for that.
Yes.
There was also on the same P. Diddy show, the comment, I believe it was from Trisha, and she said, once the dust settles, this would be a good one to revisit, but, you know, we don't wait for the dust to settle.
And it'll be about 3 years before it does.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and attack this.
Why not?
Yeah. Right on, you know, right as it's happening. And
it's prime territory. It's weird sexual deviancy, and I'm all here for it. All right, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and jump into not preliminary scores, but our post-preliminary scores. Is that even a word? I don't know.
So we're going to give essentially our final scores for P. Diddy from the last show. When
That's
we did the show for P. Diddy, we're going to give our final scores as our pre-show scores for this one, and then we'll see kind of where he lands at the end.
Okay. That's right. Buddy has those ready. Buddy, why don't you tell us what we finalized P. Diddy on the last time we recorded?
All right, so we had Mikey with a 5.95.
Okay.
Buddy with a 5.83. And Randy had a 5.47 to average out at a 5.75 was his final asshole score.
I was more right.
So pre-show 5.75, Diddy ties with Papa John Schnatter right there. And then John Law, one of our recent shows,
That's
is 5.74. So
yes.
Which right in that territory.
You know, he seemed cooler and... Although he also was a sexual deviant, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and some pre-show thoughts for the Diddy show. For me, I knew that you guys were going to dig deep on this and do a lot of the research, and I kind of wanted to be surprised by what I was going to hear right off the rip. So I didn't do any of the new research.
Yeah.
But I went back and listened to our P. Diddy episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that was a really good episode.
Yes.
We had a lot of laughs in there. We talked about Randy opened up with when his wife went to bar trivia and they asked, you know, one of the questions was the top 10 sexual positions.
That's right. Dirty Sanchez.
She
Dirty Sanchez.
Called out the Dirty Sanchez in front of a whole group of people.
Yeah. Co-workers.
Yeah.
Co-workers at that.
They had like maybe suggested maybe four things and they were getting stuck. And she was like, well, the Dirty Sanchez.
And they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And like the one dude at the table, like, cheers this glass, like just a nod of the head.
Nice. And then she came back and was very upset with Randy and
polluting her mind.
So I got a good chuckle out of that.
Nice.
We also talked about the champagne bottle incident with Scott Stout.
That's right.
And the You Can Hate Me Now video.
That's correct.
Or Hate Me Now video.
Okay.
And where that's where we talked about
The Moet bottle
to the head. And Randy said that he would take one for $42,000 to the head.
All right. I was waiting for you to say what number I said.
Yeah.
All right. I was pleasantly surprised with that. I'll take that again.
We're going to have a couple more on this episode of how much to do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm out. If we're just talking Moet bottle, inflation has kicked in. I'd probably be closer to 60 now.
That's a pretty high inflation because that was just 2 months ago.
No, the
episode was back in August of last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
So, but Mikey was in at a million.
I still hold strong to that. That is sincerely a traumatic brain injury waiting to happen. I will not do that for $60,000.
Randy was saying that he probably would have $42,000 in the truck with him. So like he might probably do it and just pay him out cash on the spot.
Get paid.
But he's also, we're talking about P. Diddy. He is the type of dude that owns one of those cash guns where he shoots fucking gun. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He probably
the bazooka.
Comes in. Oh yeah, he's probably got $100 in cash laying around at any of his homes. And even then, I'm still like, that's not enough for me to destroy the rest of my career. Future earning years out the window with a traumatic brain injury.
And then I was in at $500,000, and Randy got mad at both me and you.
Oh,
saying
great.
That.
My favorite part was listening to that. I think I laughed. I don't know if I've ever laughed harder. He literally goes, "You're stupid. Y'all are so stupid." And it was so sincere. He was so mad. He was irritated because he was like, "That's not, it's supposed to be funny." I'm like, "But we're talking about like a real wager here. Like, I'm not going to lose my frontal lobe for 60.
You wouldn't.
A Moet bottle swung by a dude that's in decent shape.
It'll bust.
Yes, yes, yes.
It'll bust. That's all.
Oh, no. Those may not bust. Those
I don't
bottles
think they
are
would bust on me and Mikey's
half an
head.
Inch thick.
You just got to gear up for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to sell me on this.
Randy had a lot of paid time off, some PTO right. saved up.
I love it because it was do. Such a genuine thought process. He was like, I have plenty of PTO. I'd take a few days. You know, he was like, get myself ready.
Pay off some debt and go skiing. And
get stitched up and call it a day.
I just got to hope the TBI doesn't happen.
That's it. Well, that's a gamble. Is it worth the 60 Gs?
You know.
Well, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll
That's
never
right.
know.
Yeah.
Unless we can track down P. Diddy and whatever non-extradition right country that he's in right now.
At this rate, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. So, yes, no, it was a fun
You know
episode.
What? Before, I didn't think it was going to happen either. So
That's true.
There's that.
It's true. I know it kind of ruins the fun if we actually start getting serious about it.
And so the last thing that was one of the highlights was there was the top 10 songs that were in the top 10 back when
top
he...
Five.
Or top
game.
Five. And Foolish Gang came up in there, and yeah, Gang. We all got a good laugh Damn. Over that.
It
Jules,
sounds like you guys just sat and laughed at me the whole show.
No, it was honestly, it's not we're not laughing at you. We were sincerely laughing with you because it was hilarious. But the best part of that one was he said, "I did the research, and it is Foolish Gang."
It was Foolish Gang, right?
It was Foolish Games.
Yeah. I should have known. Foolish Gang. What an idiot.
It was great though, but yeah, no, it was a fun episode. It was good times.
Absolutely great episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It gives a lot of the history of P. Diddy and you know how he came up. And
yeah, we're not going to do the biography here. That's covered in that first show. This one, just an update.
Yeah, and there's some things that I think play into what happened earlier with him that will maybe come out throughout the course of this episode, and I'll save that as we come across it.
Okay, sounds good. Randy, you got any thoughts before we get started?
Yeah. Why don't you lay up in your car? Let me shoot you with my money gun.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. That's all I got. I love it. I love it. All right.
I the first one, I obviously made a fool of myself. So.
No, absolutely not.
No, that was
kidding.
That was
I'm kidding.
3 minutes of an hour and a half. So yeah.
And
but
honestly,
still, I don't think that the Moet bottle is something that you should be.
I bet a lot of our listeners would take a Moet bottle for 60 Gs.
I think you're probably
or
right.
Or 47
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. 42 originally.
42, okay.
Yeah. You know, but that was, pre-hyperinflation. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I think somebody responded to it like the next week or something like that was saying that they would do it for like $10.
Oh, and somebody had
was Dave Byrne.
It was Dave Byrne.
They
were like, "Don't do it, Dave. Yep. Don't do it." Don't.
Dave's one of our favorite listeners.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Classic Dave. So anyways, the whole point of this show was just that the shit was so shocking that I just was like, we have to go back and take a look at what the hell is going on, because there was like whispers of stuff that was coming out over the past month, and then all of a sudden he was getting raided on two coasts, and he was flying to some other country. Was it
Bermuda? I think.
Aruba,
something like that.
Some non-extradition country, and he left his sons behind.
Man, sometimes you got to hit the road.
Very cool. Very cool. Let them get handcuffed. So, anyways, With that, are you guys ready to dive into the update on P. Diddy?
You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
But I won't stop now. Yeah. He's going to have to stop now at this point. You know what I mean? Sexually, at least.
You are forced to stop now. Now you are forced to stop now. Yeah. That just plays best. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. All right, so it all started really in November of 2023. I think we did this show, what did you say,
August of 2023.
So, man, we just missed it. If we had paused like 6 months, but whatever.
This would have been a much different show.
We got two shows out of it, so it worked out great. In November 2023, the singer Cassie was her name.
Yep. Cassie? C-A-S-I-K?
C-A-S-S-I-E.
Okay.
Yep.
And her real name is Cassandra Ventura. She filed a federal lawsuit against her former partner, Sean Diddy Combs, claiming that he had physically and sexually abused her throughout their relationship.
They've been together for a long time. They had a couple kids together.
They did.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the complaint alleges that Combs' abuse ranged from beating Ventura and forcing her to have sex with other men to raping her at her home in 2018. So, again, I guess the whole catalyst for this show is a dude making another woman have sex with other dudes. And, like, getting off to that. There may be poop involved here soon.
And keep in mind, it's all allegations. And
that is true.
And that's her lawsuit. But I just can't understand the whole, like, cuck thing and watch another guy have sex with your wife.
Yeah, that's the Jerry Falwell Jr.
I feel like that would almost be, like, a way to torture me.
Yeah, exactly. You know
what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Tie me down and watch. Yeah,
yeah,
watch
be like, no, this is bad.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this. Is she enjoying it? She looks like she's enjoying it. This isn't good.
Yeah, that would be the worst thing ever. Yeah. Like, that's our version of waterboarding, pretty much. Yeah. Like,
oh,
he's
man.
In much better shape than I am, too.
Yeah.
Never made that noise with me.
Yeah.
They
immediately, and they can pick the guy whose dick is obviously bigger. He said, what if they did that, and they picked a guy who looked like you, but better?
Oh.
And just enough. And then was in slightly better shape.
The guy I envisioned they picking had on like those yellow, orange, steel toe work boots with jeans, God. But like you can see his dick through his jeans. It's so big, but he's skinny and has some tattoos and
he's flexed. Yeah.
Pete Davidson, pretty much.
I guess, yeah.
Maybe built a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be tortured. You get the guy that's better than in you than every way. And while he's fucking her, he's holding up his W-2 to just show you he also makes a little bit more money than you. I said, I'm slightly better than you in every way. And your wife just came a little harder. God, that is, I think, all right, man, I should check myself into hell as a consultant.
I was about to say, yeah, that's all three of ours version of hell right there.
It is bad. Yeah. But like I said, he apparently, like, forcing her to have sex with other men to raping her at her home in 2018. Since then, three more women and one man have sued Combs, accusing him of a wide range of abusive behavior, including sexual harassment, rape, non-consensual pornography, and sex trafficking. This is a primer. We're going to get into all this stuff, but just to give you kind of the rundown. The situation escalated on March 25th, like I was talking about, when federal agents with Homeland Security investigations raided Combs' properties in Miami and Los Angeles. And that was when he escaped, right? The following day, Combs' lawyer, Aaron Dyer, released a statement maintaining that his client is, quote, innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name, end quote.
So, yeah, they pretty much hit his house in L.A. and New York, right?
I think that's correct, yes.
Or Miami. No, it was
in both. Yeah. One was Miami. It was both coasts.
Yeah. I want to say it was New York and Miami, or in L.A.
Something like that.
Yeah, sounds right.
And then he was at an airport in essentially Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he did talk to officials before he got on the plane and left. But he did get on the plane and leave. And like Mikey alluded to earlier, his two sons were definitely at one of the houses.
Yes.
And that got raided. And
ended up in bracelets.
Yep. They were in bracelets for a little while.
Like taken to jail or just cuffed on the site?
Yeah.
I don't know if they went to jail or not. They definitely were handcuffed.
Though. Yeah, they got handcuffed, but they were just detained while they searched. Yeah. But yeah, so Diddy's come out with a couple statements since then.
That's correct.
Obviously, speaking about his innocence, but he hasn't. He put out a video, I think.
Yes.
Of him on the plane or something like that.
Maybe
I don't remember. But anyhow, yeah, you just haven't had a real definitive statement from him yet saying this is all bullshit. The reason I ran is XYZ.
I have one quote from him specifically, but
I saw something on Instagram where he was, and it's just a clip, and he was like, if you fuck with me, let it be known right now. And if you don't fuck with me, stay silent. And it's all love, bro. But, you know, I'm taking names right now, and we'll see what happens when all the dust settles.
When was that?
It was just something that popped up. It could have been from even, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago. It could have been a week ago. You know, I'm not sure.
At the same time, when I hear that, though, I'm like, how are you a billionaire? That's like the most ineloquent response to this ever. Y'all fucked me or not fuck with me? You know what I'm saying? You're like, well, I mean, at this point, you're in some serious legal trouble, Mr. Combs. Like, maybe it's time to come out and, A, have your attorney talk for you and say, hey, look, because also he does have, like, literally one of the most famous best attorneys in existence. And also he's like, you know what? The best way to talk about this is to do it on Instagram.
Yeah, right?
No. No,
let me release it on social media.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, you know, as a billionaire, there's a level of arrogance that comes with that, I assume. So maybe he's just like, this is definitely the best response.
This is how I would address my company. So,
So now he did put out an official denial of his accuser's allegations, stating, quote, I have sat silently and watched people try to assassinate my character, destroy my reputation and my legacy. Sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for a quick payday. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things being alleged. So that was in December. There's been other allegations since then. So let's go ahead and get into the initial case, which is with Cassie. And I had to look her up because I didn't know that she was famous.
Is she like maybe one
singer?
Of...
I think so, yes.
Yeah, like one of his artists.
Yeah, yeah, she was, exactly. Yeah, Cassandra Ventura, like I said, is her name. And she sued under New York's Adult Survivors Act, which gives victims a one-time, one-year window to sue their alleged sexual abusers and institutions, even if the statute of limitations had run out. The window expired in November. So
she just got in under the gun.
Yeah, got in under the gun. She says that she first met Combs in 2005 when she was 19 and he was 37. That's strange in and of itself, but... you know, it's legal. In the lawsuit, she alleges that Combs controlled nearly every aspect of her life, from her career to having access to her personal medical records. She claimed that he was frequently violent, physically abusing her multiple times a year, and that he often plied her with copious amounts of drugs.
I just verified it was L.A. and Miami.
L.A.
The houses
Miami.
Were
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which makes sense, I guess. Yeah. The complaint also claims that Combs forced Ventura to have sex with male sex workers in different cities. Encounter, she said, he watched, masturbated to, and recorded. So he bought her male prostitutes.
And like be in a room and get off to it?
Full cuck.
And like videoing at the same time. I mean, to save it for later. Like creating his own porn.
Like the dude, though, does he not realize it's P. Diddy sitting in the corner?
Oh, he does. Can you imagine?
He's like, I'm getting paid.
But that's the thing. Like, imagine that. Like, you're a legitimate gigolo, and like your friends know, but they're all like, dude, he does gay stuff. Because like in your mind, you're like, no woman is going to pay a dude for sex. I mean, it's very rare, right? But you're trying to tell them like you're all drunk playing poker. You're
all
like,
they have to do is ask for it, and they'll you know. What I mean?
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're that gigolo, and you're hanging out with your friends, and you're like, listen, y'all can believe me or not. The last weekend was wild. So
check this out. Yeah. I was at Swingin' Richards doing my job, and P. Diddy approaches me, and he says, like, hey, want to earn some extra money?
Yeah. He was like, yeah, as we're listening to P. Diddy and Biggie, I want to explain to you guys that I fucked that dude's girlfriend while he masturbated and watched, and everybody's like, yeah, right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we know you work at Swingin' Richards, but shut up.
That's like a commonality, though. It's so strange that the cuck thing happens so often. I don't get it. Anyways, the singer says she never went to police because she was afraid that doing so, quote, would merely give Mr. Combs another excuse to hurt her, end quote. She also alleges that following a dinner in 2018, Combs forced himself into her apartment and raped her while she repeatedly said no and tried to push him away. Ventura says that she ended the relationship for good afterward.
Well, I mean, she had, and I'm sure he probably threatened with this in a sense, when he hit Scott Stout or whatever in the head with the Moet bottle, and he had two of his buddies attack him and do all that, he got one day of anger management classes. And that was it, you know, for it. So he was like, what are you going to do if you go to the cops? They're not going to believe you.
No. And I mean, it's even for even if you're for women, unfortunately, that get raped by people that aren't billionaires, it's hell going through that process. Right, you have to relive it. Automatically, a lot of people are like, you were probably asking for it, you know, and that type of like victim blaming shit. And then like she realizes that on top of all that, the base layer of the like horror of being raped and trying to get justice out of that, which is, again, it's always going to be a he said, she said situation, right? Mm-hmm. They're always going to be like, it was consensual, whatever. This guy's a billionaire and he has insane legal team and he can make your life a living hell.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
Again, it's allegations. I don't know. We're going to continue on with this, but if it is true, that's sort of the setup. Now, in her lawsuit, she referred to multiple witnesses who saw the abuse take place. One of them is her friend, singer-songwriter Tiffany Redd, who wrote an open letter to Combs describing an incident on Ventura's 29th birthday party in 2015. Ventura and Redd claimed that that night, Combs and his security team forced Ventura to leave because he wanted her to have sexual encounters with other men. Redd said Ventura had disclosed to her at the time that Combs was physically abusive. Quote, I feel compelled to show up for Cassie and myself and confirm that everything she described and her complaint about what happened that night is consistent with what I experienced, she wrote. In a statement to the New York Times, Combs lawyer Benjamin Braffman said Combs denied the allegations and that the lawsuit was, quote, riddled with baseless and outrageous lies aiming to tarnish Mr. Combs' reputation and seeking a payday, end quote. Ventura and Combs settled the lawsuit one day after it was filed. The details remain private. Braffman said that the settlement is in no way an admission of wrongdoing. So
settled it one day.
One day. Boom.
One day.
It. Yep.
What number do we need to hit for this to drop?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. She said, quote, I have decided to resolve this matter amicably on terms that I have some level of control. And P. Diddy responded, quote, I want to thank my family, fans, and lawyers for their unwavering support. We have decided to resolve this matter amicably. I wish Cassie and her family all the best. Love. End quote.
I wonder what the price tag was on that.
That's what I wonder, too.
Oh, it's millions.
Yeah. I was thinking $7 million for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, but we'll never know. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter to us.
And he's a billionaire, too, so it's nothing. Yeah. It's pocket change.
Yeah, exactly. And had that been it, you know, maybe that's it. Everybody walks away. You're like, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, they were together. Maybe you're like, I don't really know. But unfortunately, that just opened up the floodgates.
Yep.
Because then people were like, hey, this shit happened to me, too.
Good for them.
Yes. Four more people have come forward with allegations against Diddy since then.
Wow.
So, one of them was a lady named Liza Gardner or Lisa Gardner. I don't know. L-I-Z-A. Following that settlement, she filed a lawsuit on November 23rd, right before the Adult Survivors Act expired. She says she and a friend met Combs and singer-songwriter Aaron Hall at an MCA Records event in 1990 or 1991. This is way back in the day.
Yeah.
They returned to Hall's apartment for an after party where Gardner said that she was, quote, offered more drinks and was coerced into having sex with Combs, end quote. She said Combs also assaulted her friend. The lawsuit claims that the encounter left Gardner, quote, shocked and traumatized. And as she got dressed, Hall allegedly, quote, barged into the room, pinned her down, and forced her to have sex with him as well.
Oh, man. Which, damn. This is like his bodyguard or something?
It's Aaron Hall. He's a singer-songwriter.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
I was thinking Aaron Carter.
I was thinking Aaron
Definitely
Neville.
Not him. Aaron Neville?
I don't know much, but I know I'm going to rape you. I was like, I mean, then it was like, yeah, no, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Linda Ronstadt was there as well. This is for you old heads or the people that had to ride around in a minivan with your parents in the 80s when Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville were the only thing on the radio. All right, so Gardner claimed that Combs came to the home she shared with her friend a few days later and allegedly attacked her again. He came to the house looking for the friend because she was worried that she would tell the, quote, girl he was with at the time, according to the suit. So, again, it sounds like he went there to intimidate them.
Yeah.
To make sure that they didn't fucking say anything. That's right. What it sounds like. You know what I'm saying?
And then took another round at it? Or?
I mean, that's what it sounds like in the language. You know, I didn't actually get to read. I should have. That would have been good to actually pull up the lawsuits. But those things are actually incredibly boring to read.
Yeah, they are.
They should highlight the dirty
the good
parts.
Part. Yeah. Not the good part. Not the good, what you're looking for.
Yes. The exactly. The highlights.
Not the good part.
They should
part,
highlight
Randy.
The highlights.
The dirty parts.
Yeah, yeah. All that legalese, man. You got to just work through that. And then it's very dry.
Although in civil lawsuits, the paperwork up front, it's pretty cool. It's like you're suing this person for $100 million.
Oh,
yeah. It says it up front. You know, those are fun.
They are good. It's funny, yeah, when you go in there and that's when you're like, oh, yeah, subsection 2A here. This is where they get nasty. Gross. And somebody had to type that up. And for some reason, all of us, they still are in a font that's like typewriter.
they're like,
we're never going to change this. This is just how legal documents look forever. All right. So anyways, in another complaint filed the same day, so he got hit with two complaints same day. Joy Dickerson Neal, which is, you know, a hyphenated name. So
we know how Randy feels about that.
Randy thinks she's probably a bitch.
I mean, I was going to refrain from going there, Mikey. I was going to refrain from even bringing it up. For all my hyphenated last name listeners out there, yeah, the shoe fits, right?
We talked about one of those in the original P. Diddy episodes, and I forget what the name was, but we definitely had a hyphenated name in there at some point.
They're out there. They're out there for sure. But she alleges that in 1991, she, quote, reluctantly went on a date with Combs, who, quote, intentionally drugged and sexually assaulted her after their dinner.
God, this is some pop. Yeah, Bill Cosby stuff.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, she claims that Combs recorded the assault and showed the tape to other people, which, again, the audacity. I can't imagine.
True, that is fucked up. You would show a tape of you raping some girl?
Yeah. Check this out. Yeah, well, she doesn't look like she's
really into that much.
Coherent. Yeah, isn't that shit cool?
Yeah.
Is she, like, hitting you? Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah.
What the hell is that
She
about?
Looks asleep, Sean. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
It is. It's wild. Yeah. Again, these are all allegations, so we don't know that this occurred.
But this is what the lawsuits state.
Exactly.
They state happened.
So, and if this is true, it's just beyond fucked up.
Yeah. Absolutely horrifying.
Yeah. While Dickerson Neal did not go to the authorities immediately after the alleged assault, she says she did eventually file a police report with unspecified agencies in New York and New Jersey. Now, if that's the case, all that stuff's on paper. They'll be able to look it up. That'll certainly help her case. The complaint said prosecutors told her they need to corroborate her allegations, but she believes possible witnesses were, quote, terrified that Combs would retaliate against them and that they would lose future business and music opportunities if they made a statement, end quote, back in her account.
Now, this is back in 91, you said?
91.
How big of a star, I forget, how big of a star is he at this point?
He's big enough. I mean, at this point, like I said, he's with, it's not Def Jam, it was with Tommy Boy, I think, or something like that. Was that right? Randy, you wrote the show. I can't remember.
I'm trying to think. 91, he would have been with Biggie.
Initially, before they put out Ready to Die, which is 93.
93.
But they probably were just meeting at that point. But at this point, he was an A&R guy, and he had already, remember he had organized that concert with Heavy D?
Yeah.
Was that the one where the people crowd mob and got trampled on?
Yeah.
So he's big enough at this point, he's a name, that he can pull together Heavy D and do, like, these shows, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, sure.
He's not the P. Diddy we know
right
now, but he's big
enough. He was a name.
Exactly. Yeah. Which also, I mean, maybe, you know, if he's literally as violent as some of these people are making him out to be, maybe that's also just a factor. You know?
Sure. He has more in common with Suge Knight than we gave him credit for
that's
in the original
true,
episode.
Right? Very true. Yeah. And this is the thing, too, is like there's a lot of people who are like, oh, all this shit's coming out. They're like, yeah, he definitely had Tupac killed and this and that. And I was like, look, I've got to stick to like what these lawsuits are because, you know, that stuff, if it comes out, fascinating, then we can certainly cover that. But really right now, it's just, I don't know. You know what I mean? But anyways, now, like I said, if she actually did go and file, you know, charges with these agencies in New York and New Jersey, you can pull that documentation. It'll certainly back that story up.
Yeah.
A spokesperson for Diddy said the two women's claims are fabricated and accused them of exploiting the Adult Survivors Act. Another woman, referred to as Jane Doe in the complaint, filed a fourth lawsuit on December 6th. So he is just absolutely getting lit up here. Alleging that Combs, his longtime lieutenant, Harv Pierre, and a third unidentified assailant gang raped her at Combs Manhattan recording studio in 2003 when she was just 17 years old.
Oh, man. Minor as well.
Yes. Pierre, who previously served as president of Combs Bad Boy Entertainment, has also been sued by a former assistant who alleges he, quote, used his position of authority as plaintiff's boss to groom, exploit, and sexually assault her several times between 2016 and 2017. So
that's pretty recent.
It is.
Jeez.
Yeah. So there's rape allegations coming out of the woodworks here, not just for P. Diddy, but also for his close companions.
His entourage, basically.
Exactly right. The lawsuit claims that the men trafficked dough across state lines from Detroit to New York City on a private jet, plied the teenager with drugs and alcohol until she couldn't consent, and then violently assaulted her as she told them to stop. The complaint also included several photos that Doe alleges were taken at the studio on that night, including one where she is sitting on Combs' lap.
Mm. So there's evidence that she's there.
That's what she's saying, yes. Yeah.
Jeez, that's rough.
It's true. It's so strange. This whole thing just keeps getting weirder. And now we're getting into less of the sad and more of the just weird stuff here.
Yes, we need to lighten it up a little bit.
It's still none of it's light, you know. But in February, Combs, former producer and videographer, filed a federal lawsuit against the mogul, alleging Combs sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him. So, looks like, you know.
Is his name Rodney Jones, I think it is?
That is correct. According to the lawsuit, Rodney Little Rod Jones, unfortunate name.
Yeah. Oh, I hope P. Diddy didn't give him that name.
He worked on Combs' most recent album, Love, which, again, he has a daughter named Love Sean Combs. He's got an album, Love. He ends everything, Love. He's just an annoying prick.
That was part of Mikey's raising up his score, yes. I think, last time.
Yeah, with Love Sean Combs.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's like you've just found the word love, and you're like, oh, I'm going to use this for everything. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool. Love's cool. I like that.
It was that and his cologne brand, I Am King.
Oh, yeah.
That Mikey was like, oh, my God, no. Points ticking up.
Dude, you have to be a complete psycho narcissist to run that type of shit. And also, hey, you know, when you're talking about, like, putting positivity out in the universe, like, love, one love, like, hey, maybe don't assault people.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Physically, it's, sexually, like, all of it, just don't do it.
It's not all love, to be honest. Apparently, some of these people didn't feel like it was a loving relationship. Anyways, look, he did the album Love again, and Rodney Little Rod Jones lived with P. Diddy between September 2022 and November 2023. Jones alleges that he was, quote, the victim of constant, unsolicited, and unauthorized groping and touching of his anus by Mr. Combs. That line is in the legal document.
And, oh, my God.
And when you say your anus, maybe you want to say your glutes as well, because you can see a butt squeeze happening, but the way he wrote this, it sounds like
he's
was
up on
just,
a table with his cheeks
he
wide.
He was getting Gaddafi'd on the regular. Gaddafi!
Man. Oh, man, that's like going to sleep and waking up and Sean's in your, P. Diddy's in your bed.
I read that, man, and I was like, groping the anus?
Yeah.
Good night, man.
He said, what's the technical word for my butt? Technically, as your butthole, sir.
Yes.
But either way, look, you know, so he's getting his anus groped.
And we're not making light of
and,
this.
You know, it's true. It's true.
It's hard to.
Look, it's a comedy podcast. And, like,
and we're all immature. Yes. We're talking about groping an anus.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
No,
we're not condoning any of this by any stretch of the imagination.
Let's preface it by saying that none of this should happen to anybody, anytime. But the language is funny in the legal documentation, so just let us have this one or turn the fucking podcast off, all right?
We know why you're here.
That's right. On one occasion, the lawsuit claims Jones woke up naked and disoriented in bed. Here you go, buddy. Naked and disoriented in bed with Combs and two sex workers. He alleges the music mogul had drugged him. So we have some commonalities here. We have the drugging. We have the sex workers, which, what a gig. Hey, I'm actually joking, because you'd be like, this guy doesn't seem consensual, and he's like, it is consensual.
Yeah.
It's consensual. Yeah, chill. Have some more of my
Here's Ciroc. Some more money.
Here's some more Ciroc.
Or what did your coworker call it? Circo?
Circo. Yes. Got that Circo. Yeah. Then, of course, yeah, getting drugged, which it's so, I don't, man. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad that there is a legitimate thing out there. And you go talk to any women that you know that are of age that are going out to bars and stuff like that. Like, it's a legitimate fear where they have to cover their drinks constantly.
There's a new thing I read, too, that they're putting in drinks. it's like a tube, and it's almost even easier to get in or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I mean, imagine you're a technologist for rape. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Some guy sitting there being like, you know, it's just... We really should like decrease this level of friction to drug it and rape it a chick. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make this seamless. It's just a disaster, dude, but it's crazy. They even have some inventions that... Now, these are good inventions. These are ones I think women came up with that are like on their fingernail polish.
Yes.
And they can dip it into the drink, and it'll tell you if they've been drugged or not.
Yes.
This is the world that women live in.
Right. Yeah.
And it's fucked up. Now, we're talking about little Rod Jones, so apparently him as well, but... Just in general, the concept that there's people out there that are just like, I'll drug this person. I mean, what?
That's insane.
Yeah.
And now they're even talking about it's happening to men in Buckhead now.
Yeah. Just to get robbed.
Buckhead is a popular party spot in North Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're getting drugged and then thrown into cars and then getting their, like, their
ATM and Venmo.
No, their Venmos, yeah, and everything. PayPal's all that drained out.
Yeah.
And it's just an insane world.
Oh, that
happened.
You're right. And they would drive them around and essentially take all their money and then drop them off.
And they're like, I woke up here. I don't know how I got here. And then I looked at my Venmo statement 2 days later, and there's like $20,000 gone because it's tied to my bank account and stuff like that.
I'd be like, dude, just have a run at my butthole. you know what I'm saying? I don't know. $20,000, that hurts.
And they're all like, we don't want your butthole, buddy.
Damn it.
We just want your money.
It was like, maybe we'll have both. No. It's either or,
either
sir.
Either or, sir.
Either or. Randy will do it for $17,540.
Both parts all in.
Yeah. No, I just can't. I don't. It just blows my mind. It's another reason that I don't understand people that go to nightclubs. It just sounds like nobody's really getting a lot of action out of those places. And if you do, you usually regret it the next morning. And if you don't, then you regret it the next morning because it's expensive. And then also, if you don't and you don't, then you also regret it because you get drugged and either raped or robbed. So I'm just saying, I can't believe nightclubs are still a thing. It's actually not with younger people. I've noticed that.
Really?
I've talked to some in the workspace or whatever, and they're like, they are not about clubbing. They don't understand it.
Well, they're also not about drinking as much.
Yeah, they don't drink near as much as we did.
You know, so it's a...
We do.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, they're much more adult than us.
Yeah,
to some things.
I also heard on the news Sunday morning that how society, you know, coming up 18 was kind of the age of maturity. You move out. They're saying now, young adults, the new like move out maturity age.
Yeah.
Is between 28 and 34.
Well, think about it. I mean, how the fuck can they buy something?
That's right.
How can you rent something? I talk to some people at work all the time, and I'm just like, honestly, I don't know how you do it because I can't imagine the rent. And we don't want to get too far off topic here or whatever, but it really is sort of crazy. And that is sort of an American phenomenon where it's like, you're 18, pay rent or get the fuck out of the house. Whereas like most societies are like, hey, you're not fully ready yet. Let's ease you into this. And like by the time you get married and you finish school and you're ready to start a career, then cool. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's a better model.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a better
100%.
Model. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that if all these, and this thing too, is it's always predicated on the idea that if that's the case, you're just a loser. But like the people that push that, the boomers, had rent for like $70 a month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, dude, you can't pay $70 a month and like pay for your college out of change out of your couch cushion. You know what I mean? I'm just like, no, dude, it's the times have changed. So anyways, back to rape. All right. So we're back to Little Rod Jones. Like I said, he was drugged. The complaint that he put in also claims that in his role as Combs videographer, Jones, quote, secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Mr. Combs, his staff, and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. The illegal activity, the suit alleges, includes acquiring drugs, soliciting sex workers, there we go, providing laced drinks to minors, and sexual assault.
Whoa.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
This is like Jeffrey Epstein shit right here.
Man, I don't even know where to get a sex worker. I mean, I guess if you're
online,
a billionaire, you can
just
get
Google
anything.
It.
I guess, yeah. I'm not Googling
Go
that.
Go to Vegas.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just sounds like he has them on call.
You got any friends in Miami?
He's got a guy. He's like Pawn Stars. He's like, nah.
Let me make a call real quick.
Hot young Latino. Yeah. I got a guy. Give me a few minutes. Let me call him.
Let me see.
We'll get him down here.
Yeah, all this stuff, though. I'm like, hey, dude, that, you know, I'm borderline, well, allegedly raping. Make sure you videotape all this illegal shit that I'm doing now, including acquiring drugs. Having sex. It's almost like this, like, Time Life presents the best hits.
If he's able to produce that video and show it to the world, I mean. Yeah.
Well, there is some of that stuff that's in here, in the suit.
Huh.
Jones' suit names several other defendants, including Combs' son, Justin, Combs' chief of staff, Christina Corum, Universal Music Group CEO, Sir Lucian Grange, and former Motown Records CEO, Ethiopia Hobtemariam. Hobtemariam. I got it. Hobtemariam.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Combs' lawyer, Sean Hawley, this is a different lawyer, denied Jones' allegations, quote, "We have overwhelming, indisputable proof that his claims are complete lies," she told People magazine. One lawsuit claims Combs groomed his accuser, quote, "to pass him off to his friends and traded on his celebrity connections." In his suit, Jones, Little Rod, I almost called him Little Bones Jones. Same shit. Yeah, he says that he feared Combs was grooming him, and, quote, "that fear became a reality when actor Cuba Gooding Jr. allegedly assaulted him during an outing on the music mogul's yacht. The actor, quote, "began touching, groping, and fondling Mr. Jones' legs, his upper inner thighs near his groin, the small of his back near his buttocks, and his shoulders," the complaint alleges. "Mr. Jones was extremely uncomfortable and proceeded to lean away from Mr. Gooding Jr. He rejected the advances, and Mr. Gooding Jr. did not stop until Mr. Jones forcibly pushed him away," end quote. An amended version of the lawsuit filed in late March names Gooding Jr. as a defendant.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Wow. What if he got drunk and acted like Radio?
That's the image I had in my head. I was like, Radio sitting here doing this? I was about to say, we're cutting this.
Oh, but, no. Absolutely not. Radio, first of all, was one of the worst attempts at an Oscar grab since Sean Penn did I Am Sam.
I Am Sam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the whole joke from, whatchamacallit, Tropic Thunder. He said, "you never go full retard."
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he was Simple Jack.
That's right. Simple Jack. They were making fun of those Oscar grabs. They're like, hey, you play somebody that's like mentally incapacitated, you're probably going to get an Oscar.
This makes my eyes rain.
He said, "well, I play the movies in my mind," or whatever it was, "in my brain.
The pictures in my brain."
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. It's Cuba Gooding Jr. I was reading through this and I was like, oh, shit.
Wow. That's a big old allegation right there.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah, because I don't think we've heard anything prior to this on Cuba.
No, but maybe that's why.
He was under the protective umbrella of P. Diddy.
I've never heard anything about his personal relationships at all.
Me either.
Yeah.
Meaning I've never heard he's married or anything like that. But also, who knows? You know? I mean, statistically speaking, you know, on average, I think it's, 10% of the population is gay or bisexual. So go pull 100 movie stars, right? 10 of them.
Yeah.
Could be Cuba Gooding Jr.
The only thing I know about Cuba Gooding Jr. is that his dad was Cuba Gooding.
that's a valid point.
That's all I got.
Very good work there, Andy.
Thanks.
Well, there was also his brother that was on that show Wild and Crazy Kids back in the Nickelodeon days.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but it was something Gooding.
Dominican Republic
Carlos Gooding. Dominican Republic Gooding. Yeah.
I was going to go Haiti Gooding, but that's not a good time either there.
Costa Rican Gooding.
There you go.
No, yeah. Yeah, Haiti's getting weird, man. Yeah. Anyways, all right. So look, now all that happened, Homeland Security raided Combs' properties, reportedly as part of a sex trafficking investigation. We talked about them raiding the residences in Los Angeles and Miami.
I saw one video of, they had like paparazzis outside there, and one of the neighbors was driving past, and they're like, "can you confirm any of this?" And it looked like he was like a 20-year-old, you know, kid.
Yeah.
And he was like, "man, they have buses coming in at all times of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Hell, our basketball goal is right over there. And I just don't play basketball because I'm afraid something's going to happen."
Oh, man. Well, then one of the other neighbors was Ridley Scott.
Oh, wow.
The director.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Ridley Scott was like, "I can't get into my house because it's blocked off." They were like, that reporter was like, Oh, hell yeah. We got an exclusive with director Ridley Scott here.
Get out of the way.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't even imagine. If it was like Werner Herzog and they're interviewing him with his German accent.
DT is a rapist.
All right. So anyways, yeah, they raided his shit. And like I said, as people were talking about, they're like, dude, if Department of Homeland Security is raiding both of your homes on two separate coasts, they got some serious shit.
Yep.
Those federal indictments, their conviction rate is extremely high.
Jeez.
Yeah, they're not going to do that shit to a billionaire unless they're like, this shit is airtight. So anyways, yeah, so it's gotten down to the point where Diddy's in a lot of trouble here, and he's starting to panic. In a statement, Combs attorney Aaron Dyer said that there was, quote, a gross overuse of military-level force during the execution of the search warrants. Hey, welcome to the game. This is what they do, bro. Mr. Combs was never detained but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculations, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way. Hence, him traveling
to away.
Whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, there was one guy in his entourage that was arrested the day he was able to fly away.
Okay.
So as the feds were searching his estates, Diddy was waiting at the Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport, where he was questioned near the tarmac by federal agents. He was free to go, but a tall young man in his entourage was arrested. His name is Brendan Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul was booked for possession of cocaine and controlled substances. Apparently he had a bag that had, I think, like weed gummies and cocaine. And I know some of the stories that have come out in terms of the drugs.
Yeah.
Right? So one of the lawsuits and allegations say that all of the people that are employed by P. Diddy in his homes, I found this kind of ridiculous, and I don't know how much basis there is to it.
Yeah.
But they said that they had, like, fanny packs full of drugs, and that was part of, and, like, one of his handlers made sure all the house staff had drugs on them so that whatever he wanted at any time, he would be able to get it.
Walking dispensaries, basically.
Yeah. And so this guy that got arrested, Brendan Paul, apparently they're calling him his drug mule. And a lot of pictures. There's tons of pictures and videos of this kid with him for years. He used to play basketball at Syracuse.
Okay.
And he liked to make beats. And somehow he went from, like, college basketball player making beats to part of Diddy's entourage.
Yeah.
But there's, like, pictures of, here, I'm just scrolling. It's him holding a bunch of pills on Diddy's yacht. So, I mean, there's definitely photographic evidence of him being around, probably doing exactly what everybody's calling him, being the drug mule.
Well, I honestly, that when you're saying that, it's very reminiscent of, like, tour groups in the 70s, like Zeppelin and stuff like that. Like, they just had, like, cocaine people. It was, like, their whole job. Like, Snoop did on a very much smaller level with, he had, like, a blunt roller that just came with him everywhere. That's all. It was just, like, roll blunts for me.
He's paid $50,000 a year to roll blunts.
Yeah.
So, and going back a little bit to that Cassie lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, we talked about the abuse and the rape. There's also another allegation in there that claimed Diddy blew up the car of the rapper Kid Cudi.
That is correct.
After Cassie began seeing him romantically, Cudi confirmed to the New York Times that his car had exploded around this time.
That's right. Holy, I forgot about that part. Thanks for bringing that up, Randy.
Holy shit.
Kid Diddy blew up Kid Cudi's car, allegedly. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Kid Cudi's new album is badass, and his car got blown up, and that's completely insane. But also believable. I think Kid Cudi had said his car definitely did get blown up. I don't think he went as far to say that P. Diddy
He didn't say that.
But whose car blows up?
Yeah. So yeah, crazy. In that same Lil Rod Jones lawsuit against Diddy, he named this guy Paul, and he said his role was to acquire and distribute drugs, guns for Diddy, to carry drugs on him for domestic flights and during international travel.
Yeah.
Yep. Per the lawsuit, Paul carried drugs including ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, and ketamine on international flights to England and St. Bartholomew during his time working for Diddy.
Can you imagine Diddy getting a K-hole?
I don't know.
Am I dead?
Oh, man.
Did I die?
On the back end of the alleged sex trafficking operation, the lawsuit claims Paul was also responsible for negotiating the fees the sex workers received and ensuring they were being paid.
Okay.
That way Diddy could keep his hands clean.
Oh, yeah.
But
you have
still
to have
execute
layer.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. You got to have a layer of protection.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I read another one of the drugs they say
was
popular in that group. And again, just an article with an allegation. But it's called pink cocaine.
Okay. I don't know anything about
pink cocaine.
So pink cocaine is cocaine mixed with ecstasy, and they dye it pink.
Okay.
That sounds like a horrible combination.
And it's apparently a thing now.
That's okay. Like, isn't that an upper and a downer together? Like, strong upper, strong downer?
I guess I don't look. I don't know, but I mean, it's wild that a dude that's how old is Diddy? He's like his mid-50s.
Yeah,
he's just blowing out hardcore drugs,
and he doesn't like look like he does. Like, because no. I mean, like you.
That's
can
why
see
he's always got sunglasses, though.
That could be the reason. Yeah. Exactly. Could, but I mean, like, because you see a lot of these like rockers from the 80s, 90s.
Oh, they look.
They
burnt,
like
yeah.
You see the miles.
Yeah. Like, on their face. Like Kim Mathers, Eminem's ex wife.
Oh, God.
That picture, I saw her the other day.
Oh,
I was
man,
like,
that was rough.
Holy cow, lady. Yeah. Like, I would see you at a laundromat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this stuff, also known as Tusi or Tusibi, as they call it in Spain, sells for about $100 a gram.
Damn. That's yeah, I mean,
a
I'm interested.
Dollar for him. That's a dollar a gram.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing to him. But still, I don't know. It's crazy, man. Yeah, I mean, all of this is giving him some real problems. Several brands and organizations have cut ties with Combs.
Yeah.
Including the pink cocaine.
Yeah. so I've read more about it, and some of them do have cocaine, but what they do is mix a lot of shit with the dye.
Okay.
So most pink cocaine is a cocktail of several cheaper drugs. 44% samples contain ketamine, MDMA, and caffeine.
Bummer.
God, it's kind of like the when the rich people or you know the billionaires yeah. kind of go off on like really like Vince McMahon, where yeah, he starts yeah. getting bored of just you know regular sex
oh,
and has
yeah.
to step it up.
Same thing with drugs. He's
same
like cocaine.
Drugs.
Yeah, I need something better than that. They're like, try this pink Himalayan sea salt. He says, yeah,
yeah.
He says, fucked up. Yeah, fucked up. All right, so look, as the discussion about the latest lawsuits and allegations against Diddy continues, two names have been speculatively brought up on social media in connection with the 73-page complaint that Jones made. And those names are Meek Mill and Usher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard something about Usher.
To be clear, neither artist is accused of an outright crime in the suit brought by Rodney Little Rod Jones. Furthermore, neither artist's name is visible in the documents that are made available to the public. On Diddy's end, a lawyer quickly responded to the latest accusations against her client, calling Jones a liar who's shamelessly looking for an undeserved payday. But in the lawsuit, an unnamed rapper is mentioned as having been on Diddy's yacht where they were allegedly seen, quote, consorting with underage girls, sex workers, end quote. As seen below, it says rapper, and it's redacted, said on Mr. Combs' yacht consorting with underage girls, sex workers. So now the problem there is like that could be anybody. There's a million rappers out there, but it gets a little bit more specific because in the complaint, the person whose name was redacted is described as, quote, a Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj. At that point, you may as well just say Meek Mill and put his picture there like it's the Wall Street Journal with the little stipple,
yeah.
You know? Because Meek Mill is from Philadelphia, and he did, in fact, date Nicki Minaj from 2014 to 2016. However, the same Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj description is used again in connection with Jones' allegations centered around producer Stevie J. As previously reported, Jones claims that Diddy's connection to Stevie J was used as part of an alleged promise regarding the Grammys. Jones alleged that Diddy used his, quote, admiration of the Bad Boy Records Grammy winner to groom him for sex. Included in the suit are screenshots purporting to show Stevie J having sex with a white man, which, why do you got to say he's white? Now, those screenshots have been widely called into question. An adult film star came forward saying that the images in question actually show him, not Stevie J. He was like, that's me fucking that white dude.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The producer also spoke out about the accusations, saying in a statement to TMZ this week that the, quote, false allegations were being handled by a lawyer. Anyway, this week's lawsuit further alleged that Stevie J engaged in sexual intercourse with Diddy. Also mentioned are an unnamed rapper, like we talked
how
about.
How can you sue somebody for that?
For having sex?
Having well, voluntary I mean, sex?
Voluntary sex, right?
I don't
those
think
two dudes had sex. How can you sue? What? I don't know.
I don't know. I think the lawsuit is alleging that he was like harassed, which yeah. is a lie. Okay. Again, remember his anus?
Oh, it's all right. I thought
same
it was another
guy.
Okay,
yeah, no,
right.
Same guy.
My bad.
Anus man. It's, yes. Yeah, like I said, the unnamed rapper and an unnamed R&B singer. The rapper, as mentioned above, is described in a footnote. Like I said, we talked about Philadelphia rapper. While the R&B singer is described as someone who, quote, performed at the Super Bowl and had a successful Vegas residency, which again, just go ahead and say the name.
Alicia Keys.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Super Bowl. Yeah. Anyways, Mr. Combs informed Mr. Jones that he had engaged in sexual intercourse with the rapper and the R&B singer and Stevie J.
So this guy, oh wow, that's a big nugget to throw out there.
It is. And then there's some allegations here that I didn't see brought up in these lawsuits, but some people speculating that Usher brought Justin Bieber into the fold. Justin Bieber stayed at
Diddy's.
This gets
a little like conspiratorial.
It certainly does. Yeah. And again, these are all allegations and stuff like that. But it's like at the same time, it's like, yeah, if like some of these are right, you're like, okay, underage people, sex workers, dudes. I mean, it's just such a fucking crazy story, dude. And like I said, obviously, Usher recently played the Super Bowl, had a residency in Las Vegas, which is why some people think the lawsuit is referring to him. Duh. But neither Meek nor Usher have directly publicly addressed any of the ensuing speculation. Meek Mill put out something that it was like, I'm not ashamed of my past. It's who made me or something like that, where I was like, maybe you want to be a little more. you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, maybe you don't care. I don't know. I mean, or just come out. Right. Say, you know, it's sort of like, what's that country singer that lives down in Key West? On the Corona commercials, used to be way bigger. Anyways, there's so many rumors about him. He married Renee Zellweger. Everybody's like, that dude's so gay. And I'm like, just come out and be gay. Just be a gay dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, John Travolta, just be gay, bro. More respect for you.
Nothing wrong with it, especially in this day and age.
Yeah. You know? Or ever. if you're into dudes, even if it's caveman times.
Well, I mean, it's just more accepted societally.
Yes, culturally.
And right now in this, more so than any time ever.
If there's two genres you don't want to come out as gay, really, it's going to be country and rap, though. Unless you're Lil Nas X.
True.
That's worked really well for him.
It has worked very well for him.
Yeah.
Because he was the first.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. You got to be that pioneer.
Usually it's, whoever comes to the door is, you know, gets beat up the most, but.
That's true.
Not him.
Not this time. He figured it out. Now, of course, the last thing I have here is our dear friend 50 Cent, who is absolutely just having a field day because he hates P. Diddy and always has. Fucking hates P. Diddy. And this has given him an opportunity to settle scores with multiple people that he has always hated. So he tweeted a couple things out here. Instagram first was a picture of P. Diddy and Rick Ross, which I think is great because I honestly don't like Rick Ross. And it, underneath it, it says, maybe this is a big misunderstanding. I just don't go to the man's parties. This is not my kind of vibe. And there's the picture, and it looks
Diddy and Rick Ross are about to kiss.
Like Diddy and Rick Ross are engaged, about to be engaged in a passionate kiss.
With a bottle of, maybe I'm guessing, Ciroc there.
Something like that.
Or whiskey
know.
Or something.
Then he did another one on Floyd Mayweather, because as a boxing fan, I remember the salad days where 50 Cent offered Floyd Mayweather $1 million to read a children's book in front of everybody. Because they were friends, and then they had a falling out.
Oh,
and
man.
50 Cent was like, he was like, look, he's a great boxer. He cannot read.
Yeah, Floyd came at him first and said something stupid, like, I'll give you $500,000 if you do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And 50 was like, I'll give you $1 million if you read this children's book.
Yeah. Dude, don't fuck with 50 Cent. He loves this type of shit. So anyways, same exact caption. Maybe this is a big misunderstanding. I just don't go to the man's parties. This is not my kind of vibe. And there's the picture, which is a little harder to see here. Floyd looking like he's leaning in for the kiss.
Yep. Oh, he's looking very starry-eyed at him.
Oh, yeah. And looking, it's very, the timing can't be great. So anyways, that's it. That is our revision of our retread of P. Diddy. And man, 6 months ago, very different story.
Yeah, definitely was. Definitely was.
We talked about in the original show, P. Diddy was friends with Andrew Campos. They played on the same high school football team. And he was part of the Gambino crime family. And Campos was involved in the largest consumer fraud scheme in American history, costing taxpayers $750 million with internet porn and phone sex schemes going on. So, and Diddy stayed loyal to him up through the mid-2000s when he went to jail.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, that's already starting to paint the picture of, how involved was he with that.
Right.
you know, and could that have also been one of his handlers too, in a sense? Or
yeah,
I don't know, man.
I think he's a different person behind closed doors. I think he's always put himself out there as like, hey, I'm above the fray of like the crime shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just a businessman. I'm just a producer.
Right, yep.
But the reality is behind, you know, closed doors, there's a lot of illegal like machinations there, right? Like, he obviously likes the idea of being a gangster. These are the people he associates with.
Oh, yeah.
And the crimes, you know, that we know of, smashing people with Moet bottles while they're like tied to a chair, that's some that's some Soprano shit. So it's not surprising to me that he would back somebody who was like in the Gambino crime family for a while and maybe was taking some pointers. How do I set up some right. more illegal shit?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But honestly, I've never liked Diddy, and I feel bad. If all this stuff is true, I feel very bad for the victims. But I don't mind watching Diddy crash and burn, to be honest. I've just never liked that guy.
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of him. And I talked about in the original episode that the only times that I really thought that his music was good was when he like cameoed on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
And Mikey was like, and a lot of the songs that you mentioned, other people wrote all of his lyrics for him. There was no way that he was coming in and, you know, right. writing that stuff and hitting that hard.
No.
And so, yeah, I've never been a big fan of his music. He's always seemed, it's like you just can't, for me, it's like I could just never put my finger on it, but there was just something off about Diddy.
Yeah.
And
now you know. Yeah. Possibly.
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 Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, you know.
As new light has come in.
There's a lot of commonalities in those stories, but that isn't to say that someone didn't just be like, hey, you know, it's like they're cribbing on off your homework. You know, like, let's say all this. I mean, I don't know. We're going to find out. But like I said, the reality is, if the feds are raiding you, they're not doing that shit unless they really have a fucking solid case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for
oh,
sure. Yeah. I mean, for sure.
And they were pulling computers, electronics, all kinds of just devices. Anything
absolutely.
They could find.
He knew it was serious enough to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't want to be around for this.
Yep.
I'll leave my sons
yeah.
to get cuffed up.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
It's pretty and, shitty.
And if the allegations are correct that, you know, the one dude has hundreds of hours of video, you know, that's yeah. pretty damning. You
God,
know?
I can't even imagine. Like, someone has to go through all that videotape. Fucking horrible.
Kind of fun.
The rape
not,
part.
Not if it's like rape and stuff.
Yeah, the drug stuff would be pretty funny.
But they're just like partying and you're watching
them Diddy in a K-hole. That'd be fucking hilarious, dude. Drooling on himself and shit. Oh, shit. I swear to God, I was talking to God.
Or if it's like the Dave Chappelle making the band skits that he did.
Yeah.
You know, like along those lines. It could be entertaining.
That's true. I mean, you get to pick the highlights. That'd be great. So, I don't know. Let's go ahead and rescore P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy, Sean Combs, whatever the fuck else his name is now.
Randy, what do you got?
So, shining a lot of light on some new allegations, and like we kind of alluded to, before this goes to court and the dust is settled,
yeah.
I think it'll be a couple years.
Yes.
You know what
most
I mean?
Likely. Yeah. Because it's going in those cases, you just delay.
Right.
The name of that game is you run the clock out until the prosecutors are just so fucking tired that they throw out a fucking sign kind of a sweetheart plea deal to be like, let's just get this over with.
Yeah,
it's $50 million and then we're just done.
Right.
And it also depends on how much attention it gets, you know, how much it keeps the public's attention and how much we're crying out for it versus like, let's just get it off the docket and done with.
Oh, well, that sure. It's got to stay relevant in the court of public opinion for him to continue to be in trouble, probably. Well, maybe not. I don't know. These are speculative
on
my part.
It's all speculative, yeah. So it really kind of depend over the next few months what comes out of, you know, information if they do arrest him, mm-hmm. you know, and all this kind of comes to light. So let's just say it's a projected, if the stuff we're hearing is true, right? Yeah. So looking back at some of the folks on the show, score-wise and, like, comparable alleged crimes, like R. Kelly's in 8-5.
Yep.
He didn't kill anybody that we know of. Allegedly
killed him inside.
Yeah,
he may kill somebody. There's no charges on that yet.
I mean, we look at people like Jared Fogle, and he didn't kill anybody, but
yeah,
he's
true.
At a 9.0.
And he was 17, 16 year olds.
Yeah,
this is what the allegations are. Now, Jared Fogle and R. Kelly were both convicted.
Yeah, that's exactly
true.
Right.
That, and these are just allegations.
Correct.
But we're going off of the speculation that these are true.
I don't know if like he was convicted. True, I think it'd be different. I think I'm like an 8.21.
8.21.
8.21, just below John Gotti. I don't think he's quite as bad as John Gotti.
No.
But worse than Pat Robertson. Right below Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. See, that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Yeah, fair I like score. The just below Harvey Weinstein.
That's right. All right. 8.21 for Randy. Buddy, what you got?
All right. So for me, man, this is a wild story and a bunch of wild allegations. I'm just surprised by all this and really surprising. I'm going to assume that he did blow up Kid Cudi's car.
I mean, it definitely it would make more up. Sense. Yeah. Occam's razor here. I'm like, that's the most reasonable explanation for Kid Cudi's car exploding in his driveway. Yeah.
But yeah, that's messed up. I mean, like, you're staying with somebody, you're, you know, trying to learn the business in a sense, and you're waking up drugged in a bed with two other sex workers and Diddy there, grabbing onto your anus. That's just absolutely horrifying. It's like one of my worst nightmares, I guess, in a sense, is just waking up being sexually assaulted.
That's a fair nightmare.
That's horrible, you know. But, you know, I also know that the way that the media will run with stuff and go ahead and just promote the most outlandish stuff before, whether it's true or not, and that's just the TMZ era that we live in.
Well, I think now, in all fairness, the difference here is that these are legal allegations, and these media stories are coming from the lawsuits that are being filed.
That's very
so
true.
So it's not, you know, the guys on TMZ being like, I heard this thing, that's, well, maybe this happened. They're like, this is everything that's alleged. And one of these cases was certainly settled outside of court, which means that he was definitely not, and doesn't mean he's guilty, of course. You
but
can
he
settle.
Just didn't want to deal with it.
Right. He settled within 24 hours of it being filed.
Yeah. That's pretty quick, you know.
Like you said, buddy, name a number.
Yeah, name a number, 100%. Yep. Let's just be done with it, in a sense. We've talked about this before in the past, you know, like if you're not guilty, why would you pay? But sometimes it's easier just to get it behind you in that sense.
I think he miscalculated. He probably should have held out for like a month. Yeah. Because when someone was like, he got lit up one day and they're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, no way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll do it. Yeah. They're like, I'm going right. Because if this shit actually happened, then they feel like, okay, I can actually get some level of justice here.
Yeah, sure.
Or they're like, I'm going to get fucking paid. You know?
Yeah. What are the other?
I like where Randy's at. Kind of, there was a lot of parallels to the Jeffrey Epstein in a sense where we're videoing a lot of what's going on. Almost keeping it as blackmail, because if these people are trying to be stars in a sense and have careers in the music industry, he can ruin them with that, where he doesn't even have to show himself. He can show his entourage doing it. And we knew that he threw Shine under the bus really quick.
Oh, yeah.
And that lady, I think, again, don't quote me on this, but I saw something the other day. I was just kind of browsing through, and I think that lady that got shot in the face has still, to this day, claimed that it was P. Diddy that shot her.
Really?
Jeez.
I think so. I don't know. Anyways, that's something that I'm just bringing up that I remember sort of reading about real quick, but whatever. If that is the case, then Shine really did get chucked under the bus.
Yeah, he did.
So for me, I'm going to split the difference in between Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, and I'm going to end P. Diddy at an 8.5.
All right, 8.5. Same score as John McAfee, R. Kelly, and Alex Jones.
Okay.
All right, Mikey, take us home.
Yeah, you know, we've all covered it pretty well here. Again, I think the separation is in it being an allegation versus it being a conviction along the lines of R. Kelly. You know, O.J. Simpson wasn't convicted, but I mean, come on. But aside from that, the thing that struck me the most, what I got the most joy out of while doing the research, was imagining some home, decent, nice home, you know, maybe California somewhere. Cuba Gooding Jr. gets his coffee. He sits down. He opens up Yahoo News. You know what I mean?
And oh, like, shit!
Because, I mean, there's P. Diddy every day of his life for the past 25 years is surrounded by celebrities, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is catching strays. Yeah, I'm also interested to see what else comes out. Usher, Cuba Gooding Jr., Meek Mill, man, those guys are like, fuck.
Man, yeah.
You know, but anyways, I'm going to score him at an 8.3. I'd put him higher if we found out that all these allegations are true. But what I will say is I am very excited about the news coming out of the future. I am totally like a middle-aged woman waiting for that tea to get spilled. You know what I'm saying? Because these are people that are like iconic for the entirety of our lives almost. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I mean, Usher has been famous since the 90s. P. Diddy since the 90s. Meek Mill, fuck off, but whatever. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, 100%.
And next then thing we're going to hear, it's going to be Jahlil White.
No, Urkel. Urkel was not involved.
Maybe.
Hopefully not.
Back in 93.
All right, 8.3 for Mikey.
All right. With an 8.21 from Randy, an 8.5 from Buddy, and an 8.3 from Mikey, P. Diddy Revisited scores an asshole court score of an 8.34.
All right, 8.34, odd territory. So at 8.33, we have both a mobster, not fabuloso, famous mobster John Gotti.
Okay.
Mobster Fabuloso.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I'll clean up your kitchen.
It'll smell wonderful. And Harvey Weinstein also at an 8.33.
That tracks.
And then Diddy in 8.34, and just above him was Gigi Allen.
Ooh.
So if you guys remember the Gigi Allen show, he was a shock rock crazy man that
banana loving.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
He was.
So that's where he falls. P. Diddy Revisited, 8.34 is his final asshole score.
Okay. All right. That's good. That makes sense. There's some music in there, some rape in there. That area, that whole cohort matches up.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Asshole Court. Again, a little bit something new, but anytime we get a major news story that pops up like this, we got to think, hey, why not revisit it and expound on what we've already kind of talked about and give you guys the latest.
Everybody's up for double jeopardy in our courtroom.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. You're always available for that. Awesome.
I can't wait till we actually can get Mike Lindell on the show.
Oh, man.
I think we've got about 6 months before he
say,
shows
it may
up.
Not be too long before that could actually happen.
We'll pay him $30
to be on our podcast.
My paycheck.
My interview. Awesome. Thank you guys for the support. Keep the shout outs coming. Keep the comments coming. We love it. You know we do.
Keep cranking that hog, boy.
All adults keep on cranking that hog.
And be kind to one another while you do it. We'll see you next time on Asshole Court.